So that's where, so we, that's what our cash position is at this time, and that's what it always, always is, that we will always have that amount of cash, usually until the end of the fiscal year, and then when we have our fund drives in October, then we're flush with cash again. So let me try to go back to income versus expenses. Our income is higher than our expenses, and by $500,000. For KPFK, though, you're about break-even. We talked about WBAI. WBAI has actually really improved in terms of their revenue to expenses, so that their revenue is about the same as their expenses for the first 6 months.
I myself have no idea what to put for damages.
So that's kind of where we are, and we can go over it again. Summer?
Transfer plan.
Okay, thank you, LaVarne. I guess just as a follow-up, that when we say our income is better than expenses, is that because we have not budgeted paying off the major payables into the budget? I mean, I guess I'm still having trouble with that figure. I mean, is that because we're just dealing with, like, presently accrued bills, not past accrued bills? Is that, arriving there?
Well, that's why we have cash flow issues, because although we have this income of $500,000, you know, we hold some of that. You know, we try to maintain the stations that can. We try to maintain at least 1 month and a half of payroll in the bank. So we try to keep that there. But the reason why we have cash flow issues is precisely that we're paying back expenses from prior year, primarily Democracy Now. That's where it is, and legal expenses. So
all right,
okay, there you go.
Bill from the stack.
Okay, thank you so much. All right, well, that'll move us on to the next portion of the agenda. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, did Bill? I'm sorry, Bill, I didn't hear you.
Bill?
Go ahead, Bill,
just
please.
Real quick, it would help if we could get, I know you're busy, but it would help if we could get a cash flow statement and a list of payables, because we haven't had one in a while, and that might help us all understand this a little better. So if you could do that, that would be great.
Yeah, that, okay. I thought that those are things that are sent out monthly, but if I just sent it to the NFC, you didn't get a copy. So, yeah, that's part of the major payables. Campbell wants to add the aging major payables, and then we do the cash in bank and the headcount. Because that's always an indication of where your expenses are going.
And Arlene, your slack quick.
I'm sorry, who is that?
Arlene.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Arlene. Go ahead.
Just real quickly, I've asked for, and our finance staff has just been so completely against the wall that it's not completed, but we need a cash flow through the end of this fiscal year. We know that in October, we again have drives, and we replenish the cash that at least carries us through for a short period of time. But I'm quite concerned about our cash flow for this year between election expenses and some of the other things falling a little below, even though at this point we're ahead income over expenses. We've also had the two of the three major fund drives, and we only have one of the major fund drives plus a short drive still coming. So I'm concerned about the rest of the year, and it's looking at where we're going to have the cash to easily get through the year.
Thank you, Arlene. Folks, I'm still hearing background sound, airports, I don't know. Please, if you're not on the call,
I think he's on mute, but he's not.
Okay,
Laura, to the stack, briefly.
Okay, go ahead, Laura.
I'm just wondering if we can get just a regular cash flow statement. But I know that if it goes to the National Finance Committee, can the entire board also just on a regular basis be getting that? If cash flow is such a concern right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you.
So how often should we expect to get that?
On a cash flow, now that we are completing our audit, we should get it monthly. But as we are tasked with the audit, and we're hopefully just about through, it has been kind of like on a quarterly basis that I can pull it together. But once we get through with this, it should be monthly.
Okay.
But the audit has been unending.
Thank you, LaVarne. Thank you. Thank you, Laura. And George, I don't know if you can hear me, but we can hear you. Please mute your phone.
You hear me, really? I thought I did mute the phone.
Yeah, no. At least it seems that people think it's you, so we'll find out in a minute, right? So, thank you. If it's somebody else, please, everyone, if you're not currently attempting to be recognized, then please mute your phone. Thank you. It's probably not you then, George, because I can still hear it. So somebody else has your phone open. Yeah, maybe a television. There you go. Pound one. Thank you. All right, very good. Thank you, LaVarne. All right, so that brings us, I believe, to the chair's report. So, the things that I need to read.
Back here, please.
Point of information.
Carolyn just came on the call. Sorry about that.
Oh, hi, Carolyn. And did you have a question for the CFO before I moved on?
No, I do not. I just wanted to be
able to modify your position.
I'm not sure that I do.
Okay, no, I can hear George. George?
I think it's Dan.
Dan, can you hear us?
Yeah.
I hear modify your position. So whoever said modify your position, you're the one we're hearing, okay?
Thank you.
Please modify your phone. All right. Arlene, go ahead, please.
Yeah, just a question. Our attorney had asked me earlier, he'd gotten notice that we were doing 10 o'clock or 7 o'clock his time certain. So I know he changed an appointment for earlier this evening in order to be available by 10. And I just wanted to remind everybody that we're about 10 minutes away.
Oh, no. Arlene, I spoke to him just a few minutes before we got on the call, and he had asked me about that. And I know he had an engagement, and I told him we'd probably go ahead and go until 7:30 California, 10:30 Eastern. And we'd call him if we went into executive session earlier. So I think we're still okay. Thank you, though. All right, very good. Okay, so chair's report. Let me rock and roll through this so we can get some other stuff done here. I spoke with the auditor. I mean, we're not going to get to the audit report, so let me just fill everyone in. I did speak with our auditor at some length a couple of days ago, and yes, and I have been included in an email chain going back and forth between LaVarne and all the business managers and the auditor getting the, he told me there were some final documents that he needed to get in terms of, legal confirmations and the where we're at and financially through this date here. I think it's through February 29th. So anyhow, so he was pulling together those last items with the assistance of our staff, and he is going to meet with the audit committee on April 30th. He anticipates having a draft audit for us at that time, and he said he should be able to meet his May 15th deadline based on that, which is excellent. As you all know, WPFW, we're going to get to that in a moment. I gave some guidance to the chair there in resolving the issue, and our attorney also weighed in on the matters going on there, so hopefully we can get that resolved in our discussion that will follow here. There continues to be, to put this politely, there's still a lot of noise going on from Save KPFA over the recall supervisor, which I have to say, as the person tasked with seeing to it that we have a recall supervisor, I find troubling, quite frankly, that even when someone is put in place to conduct something which a certain side wishes to see happen, that they are still complaining about it. And I may go ahead and contact Save KPFA to address some more of their concerns further and post a comment. But I must say that, the recall supervisor is moving forward. He's perfectly aware of the fact that the actual balloting needs to be conducted in Berkeley, which I did intimate to the chair in Berkeley previously. So some of the allegations that are flying around are, frankly, just completely baseless. And the idea that this particular recall supervisor would be subjected to a higher level of scrutiny than, frankly, the numerous election supervisors that we have hired who don't even have the qualifications of, frankly, good business sense. We have hired musicians, DJs, artists, and people who are completely in creative professions and don't appear to have any qualification to be election supervisors. So I must say that I find what I consider to just be a lot of noise about it rather than simply letting the proceedings go forward. The recall supervisor is going up to Berkeley to open a P.O. box to receive the ballots. Everything is moving along apace, and I guess I am updating everyone on that because I am quite chagrined that this continues to be an issue even when everything is moving forward accordingly. And I am troubled by that. So that being said, that's where that's at. I'm thinking, is there anything else that I need to update you on in terms of where we are at? You know, those are the major things that I have been handling as chair. The financial issues continue to be of great concern to me as well as to other people within the organization in terms of doing planning for contingencies and anything that may occur this year having to do with our cash flow issues and the many anticipated expenses between the internal board elections, external coverage, the moving of the WPFW radio station, and I continue to remain deeply involved with working with the FRAC committee on addressing those concerns and issues and hopefully coming up with solutions that will help to guide our foundation forward and get us through the rocky waters that, you know, we seem to be continuing to encounter. So,
Teresa on the staff.
That being said, I'm sorry, who is that?
Teresa, I'd like to be on the staff.
Of course, Teresa. So, yes, I'm done, and feel free to ask questions. So, Teresa, and is there anyone after Teresa? Okay, I'll take Teresa. Go ahead, Teresa.
Did I hear you correctly that our recall supervisor is being paid to go to Berkeley to open a post a box?
No. Okay, let me clarify. The position it has a specific payment amount regardless of what the recall supervisor has to do, whether he goes to Berkeley or stays in Los Angeles. There's a set amount that has been agreed upon. Travel expense to go to Berkeley, of course, is something additional, but frankly, it's like $100 to fly someone from Los Angeles to Berkeley. And but this is something that, frankly, I understand completely the desire of all sides to have complete transparency on aspects of the election, such as collection of ballots and the tabulation of the ballots. And it's in my understanding, which is what I intimated to him, and he's quite clear on it, that those activities have to occur in the Berkeley Signal area so that people can witness the collection of the ballots and the tabulation of the ballots. So, yes, he is going to open a box in Berkeley and finish setting up all the rest of the things that need to be done up there. He sent for the request for the rebuttal so that he can prepare the ballot, and I believe that deadline is this week. And he's in touch with the print and mail houses, and all those things will go forward, and then when the ballots come back in and the date is set for the tabulation, he will go back up to Berkeley as per the agreement to do the tabulation up there with appropriate witnesses. So, yes.
All right. My second question is, I have seen some pretty harsh criticism of you for your selection, and I am getting numerous emails from this group called Save KPFA with no emails for me to respond. I'm somewhat surprised that people in Pacifica would take all of their information from one source and then blast people and not leave themselves a way for me to communicate. I mean, so they're jamming information at me, but not really open to dialogue, which I think is what Pacifica is all about. I guess I would like the people that are with KPFA, Save KPFA, which would be Andrea Turner and Laura Previs and Dan Siegel, to say to respond. Do you have any problem with our chair responding to the complaint on the Save KPFA website, because it sounds like that's where the complaints are coming from? So how can she respond to their complaints other than giving her a place to respond to their statements? So I'd like to know whether these three directors who are, and maybe there's more, that are members of Save KPFA, if you would be opposed to her responding to these complaints on the Save KPFA website.
I don't know if one of them wants to respond or not.
I would presume that there wouldn't
Ali.
Be an objection. Ali, hi Ali.
Ali
go
on
ahead.
The stack. Just
and
a question. Is the PNV mailing list open for anyone to mail to? In other words, can any listener mail the entire PNV?
Yes. It
Thank
is an
you.
Open list. Yes. Well, I mean, it's up to the directors if any of them choose to respond. I am going to reach out, you know, and I have to say, additionally, you know, my phone number was also posted. I mean, the email that I sent to the chair of the KPFA LSB simply took my email and posted it up on the Save KPFA website with my phone number on it, which, you know, quite frankly is, you know, really not that cool. So I am happy to... Let me clarify also. I'm happy to address some of these concerns, but frankly, some of them are just frankly inappropriate. The PNB tasked me with getting us an impartial recall supervisor, which is exactly what I've done. And this still does not satisfy anyone. And I've never seen this kind of stuff over any of the other election supervisors that we've hired in any of these elections, no matter how, frankly, I would have disagreed with some of the selection of some of those people. So that being said, I mean, I'm not going to force any of those three directors to speak on behalf of that, you know, organization, but I will be contacting certain members of that organization to see if there is a way to respond. I mean, it's true, because the individual listeners are not sending us individual emails. It is a strategic operation where they solicit people to make comments, and then they dump all the emails at once into our PNB list. And, you know, all of that. There's no way to respond to the individuals. And quite frankly, some of the stuff that's being asked is not really appropriate. Hi, Bill. Go ahead.
And then
well,
here,
nobody else can before me.
And then Nia, please, Summer.
Okay. And Laura, too.
Okay. Thank you, Laura. Okay, so Bill, Nia, and
Laura. Could you put Andrea on this back?
Of course, Andrea.
Thank you.
Okay, sure. Bill?
Back. I was first. Ken to the
I can't
back.
Hear you. Is that Ken?
Yes. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead,
me.
Ken. Okay, Ken, Bill,
All right,
Nia,
thank you.
Laura, Andrea.
And Carol, observation. I'm on the second. My observation, the emails from Save KPFA, is that they are not originated by individual human beings. They appear to be computer-generated content, and they stream out at about 28 seconds apiece when they're blasted. I would ask make a motion that we ask the tech department to direct all email from Save KPFA to be deleted and not distributed to the PNV because it's junk mail. We can put up a filter and block it. And there's nothing in there, as the other member, Teresa, mentioned. It is non-responsible. In other words, you cannot respond to it. That's a new meaning for the word non-responsible. So I would make a motion that we block that email as junk email because it comes... in a stream of, you know, most people can look at the timestamps, and you get two emails per minute. So it's like every 28 or 30 seconds, and you get about 100 or 200. And looking at the content, it doesn't seem to be coming from different sources. It seems to be computer-generated, some kind of an analog to change the content, move it around, and say the same thing. This is... just like if you were getting something from an invest to help a Nigerian prince save his, you know, cash or check. Spam or junk mail.
Okay,
so
thank you, Ken.
Anything
it's
wrong with, I think it's the obligation of the technical department to secure the communication lines, the internet communication lines of the PNB. Because when they do that, they're interfering with the rightful access that listeners and other members of the PNB have for the use of that service.
Thank you. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Thank you, Bert. Summer, this is George. You're out of time for your report.
I'll entertain a motion for an extension of time. Does someone wish to make it?
Sure. I'll make a motion to extend for 10 minutes.
Okay, thank you. Is there any objections
I'll second
to that?
It.
Second. Thank you. Who is the second for the secretary?
Teresa.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Is there any objection to extension for 10 minutes? Okay, and hearing none. Thank you, and thank you, George.
Okay. This is Tracy for the stack, whenever you get to me. Thanks.
You got it. Okay. All right, so we have a motion on the floor to block spam, essentially, of the Save KPFA, whether auto-generated or otherwise, but bulk email coming from Save KPFA.
This is Ali with a friendly amendment.
Okay, I will take the friendly amendment.
I would amend that to create a folder where all the mails from Save KPFA are put into a folder that we could access if we want. I don't think it's appropriate to completely shut them off, but I think it would help our workflow if all those emails went into a folder. And if you want to, you can look at them.
Okay. Is there a second to that amendment?
I accept it as a friendly amendment because the motion is still on the floor.
There really isn't any friendly amendments, but are there any objections to that amendment?
I would like to speak to this motion.
You're on stack, and you know the stack usually restarts the motion, but I'll go ahead and go through the order that we had, okay?
Okay.
All right, so
motion.
The maker of the motion accepts that amendment. Does the seconder also accept the amendment? And if there's no objection, okay, if there's no objection from the body, then I say rather than wasting time, then we can move on, and that would be the motion on the floor. So I'm not hearing an objection to amending it. All right, very good. Now, I'm going to go back to the original stack so that we can get through it. Bill is next.
And this is Lee. If you can add me to the stack, please. Thank you.
You got it.
Where am I?
Okay,
I'm sorry. I know. Am I after Bill?
Okay, I have Bill, I have Nia, I have Laura, I have Andrea, I have Carolyn, I have Tracy, and I have Lydia. Have I missed someone? I don't think so. Okay, Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I was going to say something similar to Ken. I basically consider it spam, and they're obviously not interested in communication because they're blocking our ability to reply to the supposed people that are sending these. Not Ken. I don't think they're coming from real people, and they are obviously only sending selected messages. So, I mean, it's morally questionable to call this communication. So, you're right. It's just spam, and we should block it.
Thank you, Bill. Nia?
Thank you, Summer. I have to acknowledge that since I've just really started reading email, I see all the Save KPFA, and all those emails do fill up your box. But more importantly, as a Pacifica Foundation director, I'm very troubled to hear people say that basically we want to stifle free speech. Pacifica was built out of political struggle. I just want to remind everybody about that. And one director, I had mentioned something about getting a blow-by-blow from KPFA. That director said to me, just don't read that. And I would just like to say that, to use that, I thank her for giving me that idea. Just don't read them. I didn't even know that you couldn't respond to them because I did not respond to any of them. But it's very troubling to me that as a Pacifica Foundation director that we're actually making such a motion. What if Congress were to do that to us and we had a complaint? I don't think that we would like it, and we shouldn't like it. So I'm deeply troubled, and I sincerely hope that this motion gets voted down because I'm afraid it might extend into other things. I respectfully disagree with all those who made the motion and have made amendments. Please think about your own constitutional rights external of Pacifica. And I say our internal politics should be compatible with our external politics. Thank you.
Camel for a stack.
Teresa on
stack. Okay.
Okay, got you both. Okay, Laura, you're next.
Okay. These emails actually are from individuals. It is not spam. You know, they're a concerned group of people at KPFA who, you know, when Pacifica has overstepped its bounds and got into KPFA's politics and programming of the station, people are very upset. And I think to echo what Tia has to say, people have a right to be upset about what they think the foundation is doing. These are people who are you know, very much behind KPFA, and they want to see the whole foundation flourish, and they see problems, and they're upset about it. I think that's something that, you know, we should all take seriously. You can easily go to the website and reply to Save KPFA if you'd like. I don't know, Summer, if there's some way you want to reply to what has been put on that website. I'm sure you could email me or you could email Margie, and we could pass it on. So I very much speak against this motion. I think it's quite ridiculous to suppress free speech in this way.
Thank you, Laura. And thank you. I will look into what my options are in terms of getting something. I'm not going to respond to things that, frankly, are inappropriate questions in the first place. But I'm frankly deeply offended that somebody would take my email and just put it straight up on the website and not even have the courtesy of, like, you know, removing my phone number. But I appreciate your offer, Laura. Next on the stack is Andrea.
Oh, LaVarne, can you add me, please? Thank you.
Yeah, I sure can. Thank you.
Campbell also.
I got you, Campbell. I got you first.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we got a long stack going here, so let's try to rock and roll through it, and I'll say something at the end. I'm not going to talk again. Go ahead. Andrea, you're next, please.
Yes, we are all public servants in some way or another here, and that the public would like to reach out and to the board, and they have the right to do that. I believe that we can always just say delete and move on. It's to be expected because of our role as directors of Pacifica National Board that we should expect that we will be publicized all over. People lean in to hear what we have to say. Sometimes it's in the newspapers. And rumors all over, and particularly here in the Bay Area, we should expect to be inundated with comments and suggestions on how we should run our affairs. It goes with the territory, and we were elected to receive information. We should be thankful that someone's out there really concerned about what we're doing. And look at it from a standpoint of, gee, there's someone there who's possibly giving us a new membership. They may have access to resources we can utilize. So I look at it as, wow, thank goodness, I welcome all of them coming in. We should come in more. And thank you and you can respond to Save KPFA. And so go in and find out what it's all about and enjoy, participate. We'll gladly accept more members. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, I've got Carolyn, Tracy, Teresa, Lydia, Campbell, LaVarne, and I might have lost somebody, and I apologize if I did, but Carolyn's next.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to take this opportunity to complain about my fellow board members, my erstwhile colleagues,
Hi.
Who are members of Save KPFA and have presumably authorized or approved of this spamming of the board. It is spam. And I simply mark it all as spam, contacted my ISP provider, and they said they would accept it and handle it as spam, but it's very distressing to find out that people are being encouraged to send in their works effectively anonymously, no email address. If anyone wants to write me on the PNB, I am happy to have a direct communication from anybody, no matter what the message. What I'm not happy about is being spammed anonymously by an email address that is deliberately feeding disinformation to members of Pacifica. So you have my email address. Write to me directly and do not hide behind Save KPFA and keep your email address anonymous. I don't appreciate that, and I don't appreciate the effort of the people, including members of this board, who are behind it and encouraging that. Your right to free speech ends at the tip of my nose. Thank you. That's, in this case, it's my email. I would love to hear directly from any listener in Pacifica. I enjoy corresponding with people, but I don't want to be spammed, and I don't thank people for it at all. It's very annoying. So I will continue to mark everything I get from Save KPFA as spam and hope that sooner or later the Internet will catch up with them. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Teresa, you're next.
Yes, I feel, Summer, that you should take up Laura's offer to put a response to, to the individual that spread the rumor that our recall director was involved in something, and we found out totally the opposite. Because as we have ever-widening circles of misinformation, I feel the person that started that has a responsibility to go to everyone that might have heard that misinformation. And I beg Andrea and others that say this is free speech to consider that this is not free speech. I've been on the board before where there was a portal and people sent me emails, and there was I received their email and I could respond to them. This one-way thing that is filtered through an organization, that's not appropriate. I hadn't thought of it as spam, but I guess that's what it is. It's truly not free speech. Anybody that sends something to pnb@pacifica.org, I'd be happy to get it that way. But when it's filtered through some other organization that could actually pull anything that's positive out or pull an alternate point of view or edit it, I don't find that appropriate. So
that's 10 minutes time.
Okay, folks, do we have a motion to finish the stack?
I'm moving to finish the stack.
Okay, thank you. No objection. Okay. Thank you. Okay, Tracy, Lydia, Campbell, LaVarne, and I'm going to say something at the end, but whomever, and if I missed someone, because I don't think I did, but it's just the case. Okay, so Tracy, you're next. But.
I can't hear you, Tracy. If you could speak up, we're having trouble hearing you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this better?
There you go.
Yeah.
Much okay, better. Great. Thank you. Two quick things. I wanted to go back to what Summer had said in her chair statement and just say that if she is able to have any luck with the opportunity to respond to misinformation on the Save KPFA website, that I would certainly like to have that offer extended to myself as well and not be left out of that opportunity to correct misinformation on that website. The second thing is in response to the issue of free speech, it's been said, but I'm going to ditto it once again, which is that I respond to every single email that I get from a listener with an email address. Some people who have not used the Save KPFA robo-mail system can confirm that. And free speech is always two ways. Free speech is not one way. What we're looking at here is robo-mails, and robo-mails are simply a political pressure tactic. They're not dialogue, and they're not free speech, and to characterize them as such is kind of ridiculous. So again, I don't think we should shut off mail to pnb@pacifica.org. That address exists. Everybody knows what it is. I just said it on the stream, and emails can be sent to that address. However, emails that come from votesavekpfa@gmail.com is a different scenario. Those are emails to which there is no way to contact the original sender of the email, whoever and whatever that may be. And that's not speech, and that's not dialogue. So there's a difference, and I appreciate the fact that the board is spending some time ascertaining what that difference is and doing something so that our time remains productive. Thanks.
Thank you, Tracy. Next is Lydia, then Campbell, then Laverne. I'm going to say something, and then we're going to vote.
Okay, so I really hope that I really apologize to the listener sponsors who have been referred to by directors as not being people. I happen to think that they are individual listener members. I'm taking them at their word. And I hope that once they start sending us an email with their own email addresses, that we will be a little bit more respectful of their opinion. And I also, speech is speech. And so when we have one-way dialogues at our PMB meetings and we let the listeners come up to the mic, and at most of the meetings we don't respond to everything they have to say respectfully, it's still speech. So far we have called them non-people and completely given a new meaning to freedom of speech. So I am opposed to this. However, even if it passes, I've got to say I will not be surprised if we hear from the individual members and they will give us, I'm sure, a piece of their mind. But again, once we realize them and respect them as not only people, but revered listener members of Pacifica, and hope and pray that they stick with us regardless of the offensive speech on this call.
Campbell, you're next, please.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. This circumstance is a bit challenging for me. I remember a few years ago, one of our LSB members decided that what they needed to do was to send me the same email about 50 times in an hour or something like that. And it was just, you know, the enter button was just hit time and time again. That, I think, was harassment. And I've had that from a fellow PMBer who's no longer on the board. However, I find it somewhat distracting to deal with the KPFA things, although when I do have time, I'll sit down and read, like, David Fisher's piece here that is quite extensive, and I've been enlightened by a number of complaints that have been rather continuous and whatnot, and I think people are taking advantage of an opportunity to communicate that isn't often available. Living in Washington, D.C., I do not feel impressed by having a freedom of speech where, you know, that freedom is to have an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper 100 yards away from the object to which you're protesting or you're trying to express something. That's not a freedom of speech. And I think that, you know, where people may not have a mechanism personally to do so, that this mechanism is one of the things that's not wonderful, and I don't think that it's fair to stick it all in some space someplace, some folder someplace, where certainly it's just going to be dumped after a while. I think it is an obligation on our parts as directors to listen to that. I have to, or to read it. I have to read a lot of things from our local area that I'm not particularly thrilled about, but I think that it's important to read that. And someone just mentioned the when we have community comment, when it's legitimate community comment, I think it's a great idea. It's wonderful. And if you can recall, when we've been had in-person meetings, I'm taking notes at that time. In fact, I have urged people to provide their community comment in writing so that someone could maybe act on it in a way that apparently the person wants to do. I don't think I'm just there to give therapy in terms of listening to somebody. But, you know, I think that we can improve our operation by paying attention and by trying to see where we can find some common ground and opportunity for improvement. It's a privilege, but it's also a responsibility to be on a national board like this and for such a unique entity. So I would urge our fellow members to very strongly consider a slippery slope of self-indulgence that we would be going by if we pass a motion to do this kind of unfair restriction And I think that the people who are communicating to us through Safe KPFA, KPFA Worker, and any other entities of that sort, you know, are sincere, and the messages do seem to be different. It isn't just the same thing that's being shouted out each time. And so I think that we ought to take it as something of significant in substance, and most of the people identify themselves as being supporters. And, you know, I think that there's some people like Rush Limbaugh who really pay attention to folks who are their supporters, who are their advertisers, so to speak. I think that we very much are obliged to pay attention to ours. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Campbell.
Madam Chair, I have a question, please.
Who is that?
I have a question. This is Ivan.
Hi, Ivan. Go ahead, please.
Do you have a time limit on people to speak?
It's usually about 90 seconds, so, and I'm not sitting here with a stopwatch, and some people have gone over longer than that, but many have adhered to it. So we're LaVarne's last speaker, and then I'm going to say something, and then we're moving on. So thank you. Yes, you know, and part of that's just courtesy to each other to try not to speak, you know, at a lengthy rate. So, LaVarne?
Yes, thank you. This is just to speak about, we were on the National Finance Committee, certain members of the LSB for KPFA, they were basically using that as a forum to throw a little juvenile, I consider juvenile, I don't know, characterizations of other people on the KPFA LSB. So I just simply, you know, I usually use that for business, so I just simply ask them to stop doing it. So two of the people actually wrote me a letter, and, you know, they said some things that probably wasn't too nice about me. But one person actually used it again and copied the whole board and then accused me of not having manners or training or something. But I think I showed that person by not responding to him. So the point that I'm really making is that, you know, they are considered, all of these communications are, you know, are very important that we talk to the listeners, board members. But when it's being abused, that's what we're trying to get. And the way the information appears to be going out, based on what Ken has said, that it is spam, and that it is not individually sent out. So those are, I think, like now. That you know, it should be available. I think Ali Lex's idea is very good to put it in a place so those who wish to read these robo emails can do it, and those who do not will not have their computer their mail boxes filled with this stuff. So that's
okay.
My experience.
Thank you, LaVarne. Okay, so we're going to take a vote. You know, and in my chair's report, I really didn't address the email situation. I was addressing the fact that, you know, I'm very irritated that, frankly, you know, I go to a lot of trouble to see to it that we get somebody in place to actually effectuate this recall, and there's still, like, nothing but complaints about it, and it really, that upsets me. As to the email issue, I have no problem with the idea that, you know, that Safe KPFA might put up on its website, write to the board at pnb@pacifica.org. In fact, I do read quite a few of these to see if there's any difference in them. And this week alone, they are clearly template emails. The wording isn't even changed from one to another. These are templates. These are not written by people themselves. Some may be. There are occasionally ones that I see, think, okay, somebody wrote this themselves. But clearly this week I've seen the same two or three templates over and over and over again. You know, people, they know when you write to your congressman, you can use a template to say something political, but these aren't people writing their own thoughts. They're using a template, and that's obvious because the language doesn't change. I looked into it from a legal perspective on a dedicated denial of service attack, and there does seem to be, you know, some case law on this, whether or not this rises to that or not as being, you know, when they come 100 at a time, they are clearly being dumped in our email all at once by the organization, not by the individuals. When I get things from other listeners who are concerned from other signal areas, I get actual emails from people that are actually writing and expressing their concerns. You know, I've gotten some from Washington, D.C. this week. They're all written by individuals actually addressing me and saying, I have this concern. I find that to be much more to the point. I mean, there's nothing wrong with using petitions, but the fashion in which this is done may not rise to the level of the illegal, but it certainly doesn't. It does not allow us to respond, and it does not appear to be frequently, at least, written by the individuals whose names are attached to the emails. And that's just a reality. So all that being said, we will take a vote on this. I'm not going to comment on whether I think this is the appropriate action or not, but it's what's on the floor. And what is on the floor is the amended motion, which is to ask our technical staff to create a folder, which is accessible to all the PNB members, into which the many emails that come from Save KPFA would be deposited, so that members could choose to look at them but not have their email boxes filled to overflowing right before meeting.
Thank you.
So if you vote yes for that, that is what we will be doing. If you vote no for that, then that is not what we will be doing, and it'll continue the way it is right now. So, Bill, you're acting as Secretary Pro Tem. Could you please call the roll?
Okay. So a vote yes is a vote for Ken's amended motion.
Ken's amended motion, which would be to ask our technical staff to create an accessible folder into which these emails would be deposited that all members could access at their discretion. And a no vote would not, and nothing would change. Thank you.
Okay. Ivan Alsemate.
Yes.
Ken Aaron.
Yes.
Teresa Allen.
Yes.
Nia Bediako. Can't hear you, Nia. Wesley Bethune?
No.
Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
Lydia Brazon? Can't hear you, Lydia. Bill Crozier votes yes. Kathy Davis? Can't hear you, Kathy. Revlon Gold? Can't hear you, Revlon. Heather Gray? Can't hear you, Heather. Campbell Johnson?
No.
Ali Alexa?
Yes. Did you hear me?
Okay. Yes, gotcha. Afia Wangaza? Can't hear you, Afia. Laura Priebus?
No.
Can't hear you, Laura? No? Okay.
No.
Summer Reese? Huh. Okay, I got you, Laura. Thank you. Oh, Summer is not voting. Marcel Reed? Can't hear you, Marcel. George Ryder? Can't hear you, George. Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes.
Okay. Dan Siegel?
No.
Okay. Alex Steinberg? Can't hear you, Alex. Andrea Turner?
Oh, definitely no. No.
Okay. Going back to the people I didn't hear, these are in alphabetical order by last name. Nia Bediako? Can't hear you, Nia. Lydia Brazon?
No.
Okay. Kathy Davis? Can't hear you, Kathy. Revlon Gold?
No.
Okay. Heather Gray? Can't hear you, Heather. Afia Wangaza? Can't hear you, Afia. Marcel Reed? Can't hear you, Marcel. George Ryder?
Yes.
Okay. Alex Steinberg? Can't hear you, Alex. Okay, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 yeses, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 noes. Anybody else check that?
Hello, Summer. Summer, this is me here. Summer, I'm using my cell phone to call in because it said I was muted.
Yeah, we couldn't hear you, dear.
To unmute me.
You could not get unmuted?
No. Somebody controlling the call muted me. That's what it said. So who muted me?
What? You've got to be kidding me.
That's not possible.
I don't know technically how it works, but I will certainly investigate. It would be grossly inappropriate for anyone to be controlling the call, muting any member. So, do you wish to vote?
No, the meeting, the vote has been called.
Okay, who would have the capacity to mute a member?
The vote has been tallied.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Yes, Campbell.
Yes. Earlier, I had not hit either my mute button or the #1, and I was definitely muted. And,
okay,
you know.
I do not know, I don't have the answer, but who would be able to do that? I mean,
I have no idea.
Who has the capacity to mute the fellow? Bill?
This is Bill. I'm back. I'm sorry. I dropped.
Do you know anything functionally, Bill, as to whether or not there is the ability of anyone to mute another member on this system? I'm not aware of that.
Well,
this is Marcel. I tried to come off mute.
I don't think
and
so.
I couldn't on my phone. I had to call in from another line. The echo you hear is me trying to get in on the line, and you hear me echoing because I'm on the phone line.
I am. I'm going to make a decision here as chair. Normally, I do not allow people to vote once the vote has been tallied. However, I did find it unusual that members that I know are on the call did not vote and not like them since they are not members who typically fall off calls and don't vote. Considering that I have three members telling me that they were not able to unmute themselves and actually vote or that they were prevented from, that they were muted by someone else, I mean, that's a very serious allegation. I would be deeply concerned about that if somebody were actually interfering. I hope that it is merely a technical issue that we are experiencing on this call, but I will allow members Bediako and Reed to vote. I'm sorry. It's not, and normally, and I will not, and do not take this as a precedent for the future because somebody's not on the call and they come in and say, oh, I want to vote. I don't allow that. Once we tally the vote, it's tallied. However, if there is a serious technical issue and a possible allegation of interference by members whom I know to be on the call, who would clearly want to vote, as they have already spoken during, the opportunity to speak on the motion on the floor, I'm going to allow them to vote. Will you please take Mia Bediako and Marcel Reed's votes? Thank you.
Okay, so what were those? Neil, how did you vote?
No.
Nia? I'm is she off the call again?
I can speak. This is Marcel.
Okay, Marcel.
I vote no.
Okay, Marcel okay. Reed votes. Is Nia unable to speak again?
Does somebody hear what Nia said?
I don't hear Nia at all.
I don't either.
Hello?
Okay,
this is
Tracy with Twitter, if I could.
I'd like to vote. Can somebody explain what we're voting on?
This is Tracy.
Okay.
Can I make a point of order, please?
Yes, you may make a point of order, Tracy.
At this point, it seems to me that we don't know who was having technical problems and who wasn't. I think this is the occasion when you blow out the previous vote and start again from the beginning.
Thank you, Tracy. I'll accept that as a reasonable
Boomer?
Solution to the problem.
Boomer?
Mia, are you back?
Yes, I'm back. And I'm using my cell phone, but somebody muted me again. I would like to vote no, and I don't want to be muted again.
Okay, folks, I'm going to let Bill recall the vote. We're going to start from the top. Everyone, please stay on the line. I am going to, as chair, I am going to contact John L. Mella tomorrow and ask to look into the situation as to whether or not any individual member would have the capacity to block another member or mute them. And, I mean, this is deeply troubling if there's such an issue going on. So
I have been on the line and I have not left. You can, now I'm echoing because I'm using my cell phone.
Okay, folks, so we're supposed to be on our confidential session. I just want to get through this. I don't want to
Madam Chair.
Bill, can you please call the roll from the top?
Madam Chair.
Who is that?
The motion again.
Lydia, can you also ask them to contact the phone service company that's doing this?
Yes. Now, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. Don't you worry. By the next time we have a call, nobody's going to interfere with anybody. I'm going to know exactly what happened today, okay? Because this is not... It's a very, and I noticed that when we dialed into the phone service that it's a different company name now. It says formerly such and such. Maybe there's a technical issue occurring with the phone company, but we can't have this happen. We cannot have our votes damaged by the inability of members to participate. So we're supposed to be in executive session, and we barely handled anything. So I, Bill, would you please call
okay.
the roll? I'm going to reread the motion. The motion on the floor currently, as amended, is that we ask our technical staff to create an accessible folder that any member can access at his or her discretion, into which bulk emails that come from Safe KPFA would be deposited so they do not overload people's inboxes. If you vote yes on that, that is what will happen. We will be asking technical staff to create such an accessible folder. If you vote no, then policy will remain the same as it is and flow as we do currently. Bill, could you please call the roll?
Okay. Ivan Altman?
Yes.
Okay. Ken Aaron?
Yes.
Okay. Teresa Ellen?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I say yes.
Okay. I'll say okay if I hear each person voting. Nia Bediako?
No.
Okay, go to that time. Wesley Bethune? Can't hear you, Wesley. Carolyn
no.
Burden?
No,
okay,
I
got you, Wesley. All right, thank you. Gotcha. Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
Lydia Brazone?
No.
Okay, and I think I forgot to say okay for Carolyn. Bill Crozier votes yes. Kathy Davis? Can't hear you, Kathy. Revelyn Gold?
No.
Okay. Heather Gray? Can't hear you, Heather. Campbell Johnson?
No.
Okay. Allie Lexa?
Yes.
Okay. Afia Wangaza? Can't hear you, Afia. Laura Priebus?
No.
Okay. Summer, Summer's not voting. Marcel Reed?
No.
Okay. George Ryder?
Yes.
Okay. Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes.
Okay. Dan Siegel?
No.
Okay. Alex Steinberg? Can't hear you, Alex. Andrea Turner?
No.
Okay, and the people we missed, Kathy Davis? Still can't hear you, Kathy. Heather Gray? Can't hear you, Heather. Afia Wangaza? Can't hear you, Afia. Alex Steinberg? He was having trouble earlier, too, but I don't hear him again. Okay, so the vote is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 yes again. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9 no's. Motion fails.
I think it's 7 yes.
Yes, it's 8. It's 8 yes, 9 no's. He's correct.
Is that correct, Bill?
I count 8 yes and 9 no's.
Yeah, me too.
Correct.
Summer. Thank you.
And Summer, just for the record, that the company should have a printout of all the numbers of the people on the phone, but this needs to be settled. Thank you.
Oh, I guarantee you as chair, I will find out what happened. This is not acceptable. So I will be in touch with John tomorrow, and we will get a printout of the numbers, and I will find out myself how the system works, and if there's some administrative capacity of which I'm unaware that would allow one member to block another, okay, I will get an answer to what's happened, or at least see to it that it can't happen again. Thank you. All right, folks, we are, so the motion fails. Email will continue to come from Safe KPFA into your boxes, I assure you. We are about 10 minutes past schedule here for going into executive session. Our legal counsel is probably waiting for us on a call, although I hope Arlene was able maybe to contact him while we were running over schedule. We have not dealt with the pressing matters with the with anything, with WPFW's election or any other issues. But
question, please.
I'm sorry, who is that?
This is Alsame.
Ivan, yes, please, go ahead.
Yeah, I would love, if there's any going to be, if there would be discussion on WPFW, it should be public, not on
yes,
not in,
I understand, of course. So, that being said, Arlene, are you on the call? Arlene? Are you muted? Can you hear me? Okay. Well, I would like to contact counsel and ask him to give us another maybe 10 minutes.